John Abbott from TSN 1040 in Vancouver joins us. John, how are you, my man?
Terrific. Game day and lots of excitement in the city with these Oilers in town.
Yeah, it is a different feel now with the Oilers coming into town. Obviously, Connor McDavid does that. And also the fact that the whole team now is playing rather well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you certainly get that group huddled in the corner at Rogers Arena that's going to be, who knows, 12, 15 rows deep seeing McDavid at warm-up. But you're right. There's a bit of a different air with these Oilers. I think a lot of people kept track of the Heritage Classic game and now realize that they're on top of the standings. It's certainly going head-to-head with the Canucks that way in the division. And so I think there's quite a bit of excitement for a Friday night game in Vancouver.
Now, Vancouver fans, they got off to a great start. Everyone is excited, but the Canucks have now dropped three in a row, and they're really struggling to score goals. They only have 14 goals on the season. And you look at, you know, Henrik Sedin has three, Daniel Sedin has two. Lou Eriksson doesn't have a goal yet, does have four assists. Bo Horvat's scoring, but other than that, man, they really don't have a lot of depth offense.
Well, it's yet to show itself. You're right. And that's going to be very key, not only for tonight, this weekend with the Capitals waiting for tomorrow night, but also moving throughout the season, Jason. This is a Canucks team that's trying to be committed to playing a more structured defensive game. They realize it's, you know, if they have their way, it's probably a lot of low scoring, tight hockey games, but you have to have that scoring there. And you mentioned Louis Eriksson, Sven Berchi. Those are two guys that have to step it up. Both have 10 shots on the season, no goals to show for that. Eriksson brought in as a big signing in the offseason to complement the top line. And Sven Berchi, coming off a career year, was expected to sort of pick up where he left off in the second half of last season. Hasn't been able to do that. And so when you don't have much scoring and you're trying to stick to a defensive game, that can make for some long games and a lot of effort put forth. And the Canucks are finding that after a hot start. They still have a ways to go.
Now, their defense took a big hit with the Tanev. How long is he out?
No timetable on his return. Unlike Burrows and Dorsett, who were put on the IR, Tanev's listed as day-to-day. Now, we did see him in a walking boot around the arena. You know, these days, that can be even a sprain, and they just choose to mend it that way or protect it that way. But no update on his availability. So right now, it's the Troy Stetcher show.
He is somebody who's brought a lot of excitement to the organization, and you know, I've watched some of the Vancouver Canucks games, and I can see why you're excited. It's kind of the new breed of NHL defenseman, man. If you can skate and move the puck, you're going to be able to be effective. However, it is tough over the long haul of a season at that size, and they're obviously going to have to limit his minutes. We saw it firsthand in Edmonton. If you play Justin Schultz more than 20 minutes or even 19, that's when trouble starts.
Yeah, it's going to be curious as it goes on, Jason, because right now, I mean, he's only played one game, but he had 22.5 in his debut, and he was playing in Tanev's spot, which is that top pairing beside Alex Edler. And so it was baptism by fire against the Ottawa Senators. I thought he held his ground very well. You know, you expect to notice Troy on the offensive side of the puck. I thought you did, but you noticed him on the defensive side as well and in the positive category. So it'll be a completely different test this weekend. Certainly against your Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid. We'll find out if he gets into back-to-back games and faces the likes of an Ovechkin tomorrow. But so far, it appears as though the Canucks are using this to determine how well he's going to fit in after just four American Hockey League games. But I tend to side with you as well. That's completely different over the course of an 82-game schedule. So it still remains to be seen how well Stetcher fits in and exactly where he would fit in the lineup once Tanev comes back.
So is Alex Edler the defenseman that's going to they're going to put out the most against McDavid's line tonight?
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of that tied to Stetcher there, so I tend to think so. It would make the most sense to me unless, you know, maybe you see someone swapped out beside him, I suppose, as an option if Stetcher indeed does find it difficult. If things go as well as they did against the Ottawa Senators, I think you will see that pair come out quite a bit. They like the middle pair of Hutton and Gudbranson together. They're certainly an option as well. I tend to think they'd stay away from Lucas Pisa and former Oiler Philip Larson as much as possible.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. That's why, like the Hutton Gabranson one, when you've got Stetcher so young in his career, Connor McDavid has made guys like Pietrangelo and Bouwmeester get on their heels, you know, guys who are Olympians. I don't know if you want a young kid early in his season trying to have to slow down 97.
You're right. So it's a bit of a coin flip because Stetcher, the one thing he gives you is certainly the mobility and the speed, but he's still very raw. And you're right. You know, it's one thing to do it in his first NHL game, but another to try and do that consistently. And you do know what you have in Hutton and Gudbranson. And listen, Gudbranson was brought in not only to be a force in front of the net, but to play some tough minutes as well. And so I think it sounded like for the morning skate, the line of Sutter, Granlund, and Hansen would be matched up against McDavid's line as a forward trio. And so certainly if you're rolling the lines, you could see that Hutton and Gudbranson might be sticking to him from the defensive side.
Any cause of concern, do you think, for Willie DeJardin behind the bench if the Canucks go on any sort of extended losing streak?
Well, much like the Oilers, you know, have turned the clock back with how they've started, the Canucks did as well. In fact, made NHL history with their three straight come-from-behind wins to start a season and then went 4-0, something they have not done since, you know, the early 2000s. But none of that will matter if they don't at least get a split out of these back-to-back games against Edmonton and Washington tomorrow, because then all of a sudden the team has dropped four straight hockey games. And much like the Oilers going east, the Canucks do as well, only they start in Montreal back-to-back against Ottawa the next night, still have back-to-back games in New York to come, and then closing out Detroit with a Toronto sprinkled in there. And so, you know, on one hand, you get a split, you have some positive energy moving onto the road. On the other, you lose both of these games this weekend, and you're sort of picking up the pieces heading into another difficult barn in Montreal. So this trip in November is not, I don't think it'll decide the coach's fate, but it could certainly change the way people are looking at this hockey team.
John Abbott from TSN 1040 joins us. Oilers taking on the Vancouver Canucks tonight. John, Jake Virtanen came out and said he was disappointed with his ice time, and I think he's the only player in Vancouver who's playing fewer than 10 minutes a night so far. A young guy who just wants to play more. What did you make of it? How was it dealt with the organization?
Well, I was there when he addressed the media, Jason, and it wasn't in a malicious sort of aggressive tone. It was more of a matter-of-fact kind of laying out how he felt. And so that's his right. And he's not the first guy to be frustrated with lack of minutes, as you pointed out. I was a bit surprised to hear it from him because usually with Jake, you get a little bit more of the cliches. And, you know, I wondered whether a young player would go there this early in the season. So it was a bit surprising from that standpoint. I think, boy, now more than ever, he's got to put his money where his mouth is. I mean, the coach is not just going to catapult him up to the top line with the Sedins because he, spouted off to the media. So he's going to stay on the fourth line. He's got to work his way out of it. And I think if he doesn't show well, the American Hockey League all of a sudden becomes maybe a greater possibility. And it's not just because of his comments, but because of his play. And it's been a strange start for Jake. He was injured in the very first preseason game, missed a few there. I think he only played two or three in the preseason. Has been banged up to start the year, was sat against the St. Louis Blues. I mean, a big, heavy physical team where you think you'd want a guy like Virtanen in. Didn't show very well against the Anaheim Ducks. Again, another heavy team. And so he doesn't have a point, and that's one thing. But if he's not playing the physical up-tempo game, you know, that leads you to believe there's more to give and more rounding out to do. So I think it's very much question mark still with what Jake can bring and where he ends up playing.
One last one for you, John. Jacob Markstrom's 3-0-1 with a .923 save percentage, 195 goals against. Ryan Miller is 1-2 with a .933 save percentage and goals against average are basically the same, just a little bit higher, 1.97. Have both goalies played equally well?
I thought Jacob Markstrom has played very well. Miller got into the first game of the season against Calgary, was scheduled to make a start shortly thereafter against his ex St. Louis Blues, and turns out he had tightness in his adductor and couldn't go. And so Markstrom was forced in action there and had to play the next couple of hockey games and had looked great. So I think Jacob is holding up his end of the bargain. I think Ryan Miller has also looked well. He has a heck of a record against Edmonton. So we suspect he'll be back in there tonight and trying to uphold that. I think that's a great thing for the Canucks if they can find a 1-2 punch, because in the structure and the system they're trying to play, boy, it certainly does rely on the goaltender an awful lot to keep that intact. And I think the one thing you can say about Markstrom is he seems to have added his name to the conversation to play a little bit more regularly than he did last year. And I think the Canucks are happy about that.
John, we appreciate the rundown. Enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Have a good one.